Praise you, Lord. We give you glory. You're our God. There's none beside you. There's none that is like you. There's none that is as powerful as you. You are the Most High God, the Holy One of Israel. You change not. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are my God. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I praise you. Hallelujah. Have your way in this place today, God. Move by your Spirit, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I want to direct your attention to the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13. Isaiah 29, 13. Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear or their reverence toward me is taught by the precept or the commandment of men. I want to teach for a little while this morning on this thought. When you pray, bring your heart. When you pray, bring your heart. Would you bow your head with me and let's pray that God would have his way. Lord Jesus, I come humbly before you. I am your servant. God, I want you to have your way in this lesson. I pray for your anointing. I pray for spontaneity in the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that you'd anoint our ears and our hearts, that we would hear and obey what you have set before us. I pray, God, Lord, that you would just have your way, that this would be communicated as you see fit. We give you all the glory and all the honor, and we're thankful, Lord, for the revival that you have given us. We give you praise and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to talk a little bit today, or a lot, about prayer, and there's only so much that you can cover in a 30-minute session. And I'm not going to lay out an argument for the dailiness of prayer. There is a verse, Psalm 141:2. It says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." The incense and the sacrifice both happened on a daily basis. There was the evening and the morning sacrifice, and along corresponding with that, they also offered incense. And that's basically the point being, the Bible does teach us a daily prayer life, and maybe there's also precedence that we should be praying even more than once a day. Daniel prayed three times a day. David said, evening, morning, and at noon will I cry aloud, and talks about that. Amen. But the idea is that we should be in constant communication with God. I believe that God has been calling his people to prayer. I believe that we have felt that call and that we are answering that call. We are seeing the results of prayer, not just going through lip service, not just going through the motions of it, but truly surrendering ourselves in prayer to God. This verse that I read as my text speaks to people who were going through the motions of religion. They were offering their sacrifices. They were offering their incense. And they were saying the right things. They were literally praying and saying words that were words of honor to God. But their heart was not being brought with their words before him and allowing themselves to submit to his will and his desire. A prayer that doesn't bring the heart before God in order for God to examine, cleanse, and make right the heart is not prayer, but it is self-worship, or what the Bible calls will worship. The heart denotes a person's center for both physical and emotional, intellectual, moral activities, and sometimes is used figuratively for the inaccessible thing like the heart of the earth. There's also another word in that's the word reins, which is in the Hebrew is a word for kidneys, and it denotes the mind. And when we pray, we must keep these things in mind. And here are some scriptures that touch on this, and I'm going to go through them quickly for sake of time. But Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins or the kidneys, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we pray, we ought to bring our heart. When we pray, we ought to bring our heart. Amen. We ought to bring our mind to God and submit it unto him and to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Psalm chapter 26, 1 and 2. Judge me, O God, for I have walked in mine integrity. The people of God ought to rejoice in the right judgment of God, or the righteousness or the rightness of God's judgments. We should not be afraid to stand before God and call upon the integrity that we are walking. It's not a self-righteousness, but it's a righteousness that has come from a people that have brought their heart before God and submitted it to him and are walking in it and are doing their best to walk in their integrity. My prayer is, God, if I'm not walking in integrity, reveal it to me so that I can make it right and make heaven my home. Amen. When you pray, you ought to bring your heart. You ought to bring your heart. Amen. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Amen. I don't want to slide. I don't want to slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins, the kidney, the mind, and my heart, the feelings, will, intellect, the center, the very center of it. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Amen. For me, it's not just when I pray, but I want to wait all the day on him. I want to be sensitive to him. When God directs me to witness, I want to witness. When God convicts my heart because of a thought, I want to drop to my knees and say, God, forgive me. Make my heart right and clean in your sight. I don't want to walk an hour without being submitted to God. I don't want to have a wrong spirit. I don't want to have one wrong attitude. Amen. I want to be righteous with my kids. I want to be righteous with my wife. I want to be righteous with my friends. I want to be righteous with his people, with God's church. Amen. I don't want to go one moment without being submitted to him. Amen. I want to walk in a way that God can convict my heart. Amen. Where I can be sensitive to him. Amen. God forbid that I should go months and look back and realize that 4 or 5 months have passed and I've been wrong all this time. Amen. If that's the case, I want to know it. But I don't want to live there and I don't want to walk like that. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I pray this so often. Amen. I've got a thick head. God, you've got to make that way. You've got to make that path straight, and you've got to make it plain. Amen. I'm coming to you in prayer, and God, I've got to know the way that I need to walk today. It can't be something that has a trickiness to it, but God, make it plain. Amen. Drive it into my mind. Drive it into my heart so that I can walk in your way, O Lord. Teach it to me. Instruct me in your way. Our heart has to be brought before God, allowing him to cleanse, change, lead, guide, direct. Amen. I'm thankful today for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful today for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe an apostolic church should not be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm thankful that God filled me on my 7th birthday with the Holy Ghost, and I spake in tongues as the Spirit gave me utterance. Amen. I wouldn't want to face the trials of the day, the atmosphere of the day that we live in without the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm thankful for it. and understanding that the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to guide us into all truth. When you read John 14, 15, and 16, it lays out the doctrine of the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and it says, which is the Holy Ghost. And we know from Colossians 1, 27, the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. When you read that, Jesus says, I will come. He is the Holy Ghost, folks. He is the Spirit that's in us. Amen. That is regenerating us and changing us and leading us and guiding us. Amen. It's our instructor. Titus 2, 11 through 14. I believe very, very strongly that when it says here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen. I believe that's talking about the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost is the grace, the charis, the gift of God to us. Amen. That will teach us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Jesus said that the Comforter will come and will guide you into all truth. Paul said that the gift that bringeth salvation, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, teaches us. And if you put it all together, it's teaching us all truth. Amen. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that we need to pray in the Holy Ghost often. Amen. I believe that we need to pray in the Holy Ghost daily. I believe that it's got to be an instructor to us. I believe it's got to be a guide to us. Amen. We cannot neglect it. And there's questions, well, can you really do that? Yes, you can. You can do it. You can do it. And if you want to, you will do it. And the thing is if we give ourselves to it on a daily basis, it becomes easier and easier and easier to walk in it. What is difficult is when you go 3 or 4 days without it, and then you've got to work back into it. But if you stay in the flow of it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. Amen. And we know that the Holy Ghost is not just tongues. That's the evidence of it. We understand that. But the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God that we submit to. And we walk in that. Amen. I'm thankful today for the Holy Ghost. In order for prayer to work, we have to bring our heart and submit it to God and alter ourselves to align ourselves with His will. We have to get in the Holy Ghost, allow it to teach us and to lead us. Amen. We have to get our heart, our mind, and soul involved in prayer. James 5, 16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Praying one for another brings us into unity. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word, effectual, fervent, in the original is one word, energio, and it means active or efficient. It's something that creates an effect. It's something that creates a result. And it's something that is energetic and active. I had a friend of mine tell me, you know, for years I prayed without being very, very loud. I've just, you know, kind of prayed quietly. But God has moved on him, and God has directed him and led him. And now he's telling me, you know, I've got to go somewhere in my home because I'm disrupting my kids. But what he's telling me is he's never been so effective in prayer. He's never been so effective in keeping his heart clean and right before God and walking in truth and righteousness. Amen. We've got to be active in prayer. It doesn't say the silent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says the energetic, the energio, the active, efficient prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. I believe that we've got to be active. You say, well, I'm a quiet person. Well, you know, let your kid get up here and sing and do a good job. You'll be clapping and screaming with the rest of us. You know, things that, you know, that you're involved in. You know, there's many times where we get active. Let your kid try to run out in front of a car. I believe that you wouldn't say, move, Johnny. See what I'm saying? If you're desperate, it brings something out of our insides. We got to get this in our guts, folks. Amen. We got to understand that we stand between a person. We stand between a soul and hell. They're bound for a devil's hell. And if we can't get a burden, and if we can't pray with a burden, then they are going to be lost. Amen. But I believe that prayer changes things. Prayer affects things. Amen. Prayer that has no submission is rebellion. The first two words of the Lord's example prayer denotes submission. I'm not going to go into this very much, but our, submit yourself one to another. Unity. We're in this together. Father, the Lord loves whom he chastens. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. But if you be without chastisement, then you're illegitimate. Putting it nicely, Hebrews 12, 7 and 8. Amen. We have to submit ourselves to God and allow him to chasten us and to change us. And the result of prayer is that we are brought into right relationship and proper alignment with God. If you're unwilling to submit your will and ways to God when you kneel in prayer, then you're kneeling at an altar of pure idolatry and self-worship. If you are not willing to submit, then you are not serving him, you are serving yourself. And this is disastrous. This is destructive. And I'm going to spend the rest of our time on the book of Jude. I know I don't have a lot of time to unpack this entire book, which is all of a chapter. But Jude gets a lot of bang for his buck. I mean, he just gets in. He is very similar to the book of 2 Peter. And what you find is you find two groups of people, those who are endeavoring to walk right, live right, keep the faith, and those who want to be recognized as being spiritual. They want others to think of them as being spiritual, but they want to be led by their own carnal appetites. They don't want to be submitted to God. And we find in verses 4 through 6 says, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, unrestrained lusts, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and talks about the angels that kept not their first estate. One of the things that pops out in these three verses is the fact that these men that crept into the church unawares, and they took the doctrine of God and they turned it into something that served their lusts. And Jude is telling the congregation of God, saying, you know something? I know you're looking at it and you're wondering, how can these people have the same apostolic salvation experience, the common salvation, as Jude put it? How can they then turn around and walk like this? And maybe they were afraid to rebuke them because Jude has to tell them to earnestly contend for the faith or the doctrine. And to support what he's saying, what he brings up is the fact that in the Exodus generation, that God delivered them, in the Bible it says, redeemed them from Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin. So that was likened to them having the common salvation. But afterward, because of their rebellion, God destroyed them in the wilderness. This is a good proof text against eternal security. Because they were saved at one time from Egypt. But then they were judged by God in the wilderness, and they were not able to see the promised land. The promised land is a type of the Holy Ghost. Some people say heaven. Well, we're not going to fight giants in heaven, but we are going to fight principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places when after we get the Holy Ghost. And so they never saw the promised land, and you can read Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, and you can go into that some more. Amen. And so Jude was trying to strengthen them to stand and to contend for the faith. All right. Then we move on. We look at verse 8, and it gives us some insight into the character of these, what the Bible calls scoffers or mockers. And if you study that out, it's false teachers. So these men seem to have been in a leadership role in this church, and there was contention. And so Jude is talking about the character of these false teachers. It says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And I can't go into all of it, but it's, there's some interesting things. Like dominion, for example, is from the root word kyrios. Kyrios is when you see in the New Testament, you see Lord, Master, talking about Jesus. This is that word, kyrios. And so we know from verse 4 that they deny the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also find here that they have a natural disrespect for any authority, whether it's civil authority or church authority. They despise lordship. They despise mastery. One of the ways that we can tell that we are getting carnal is when we don't have respect for the spiritual authority that God has placed above us. The carnal man will not endure spiritual authority. And so when spiritual authority begins to rankle us and irritate us, then we know that we have a kernel of carnality in us that we need to bring before God. When we pray, bring our hearts. We know also in this passage, says they speak evil of dignities. The word dignities is doxa or glorious. It's the exact same word used in John 1:14, and we beheld his glory, the doxa, as of the only begotten of the Father. So we beheld his glory, the glory, both those words, glory, are doxa. And so this use in Jude 8 seems to have to do with God raising up people and giving them honorable positions, again, both civil and in church. I'll tell you something. Regardless of who the president is, my house, my wife, my kids, we don't speak evil of them. There's things that I strongly disagree with. But what I have observed is when I put in a kernel of disrespect into my kids on authority, who are they going to point that loaded gun at in the future? And I also understand that God puts up and God puts down. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but God does it. And so I don't want my house to be a house of disrespect or dishonor, because I believe that God has a divine plan. You know, one thing I've always wondered about, not really worried about, but wondered, is how we can get so worked up over a one-world government when our Bible prophesies it's going to happen. So we're going to sit here and we're going to complain about it and we're going to get worked up and get aggravated about it when God is the one who said it's going to happen. You know, you need to pull your stakes out of the political arena. I'm not saying you shouldn't vote. You should vote. It's your duty. But what I am saying is that that's not going to be the answer for you. We're part of, we have a citizenship of heaven. Heaven is that country that we are looking for. And what God did is he said, here, I'll give you the Holy Ghost. I'll give you citizenship. I'll give you the earnest of your inheritance. And you'll be a citizen of heaven right now. But I want to leave you in the earth so that you can go and be a witness so that more people can make heaven their home. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So, doxa. I think that's interesting. They speak evil of dignities or glory or honor. People that God has placed in those positions. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful today to have elders and to have a pastor over me that I can live for God. It's a wonderful thing for me to be able to go to my pastor and elders in my life and get advice. Amen. And I'm hoping that one day down the road when my kids, maybe they can't come and talk to me about something, but they'll have enough respect for elders and ministry that they can go to them. I think it's Brother Booker who has Brother Von Morton signed as the pastor for his sons that they can go to so that they don't, if they can't come directly to him. I think that is very wise to have somebody that they can go to. But if we break this down in our home, then we cut off the rope later for our kids because they're not going to respect the leadership that God has put in their life. And you know, sometimes Maybe we think, well, it's just the leadership here. But if we get that attitude into our kids, wherever they go, they're going to have a problem with it. What we need to be doing is praying and bringing our heart before God and allowing God to change us. One thing I have found is the Holy Ghost isn't going to tell me something different than it tells you. When we're truly submitted, the Holy Ghost is going to lead us and guide us into all truth, the same way. Amen. Well, praise God. I know that kind of felt like it hit a stump. Wish we could stay here for a while and dynamite it, but let's move on. Colossians 1:13. Amen. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things. Boy, we shout this one God passage, and we love it. Amen. But when it gets to the thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, we ought to also shout, recognizing that God also gave them a certain honor and a certain doxa. Just like when he came and manifested himself in flesh, we beheld his doxa. When we look at both civil and church leadership, we're beholding the doxa of God, and there's a purpose for it. Amen. Then we go into Jude, verse 16, and I am hurrying to a close. I know I got a couple minutes. It says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts or appetites, their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They murmur, they complain, they follow their own appetites, they're selfish, self-willed, and what they love is to know people with connections. They admire anybody that can give them some kind of advantage, whether it's as simple as their connection making them look important, or if they get some kind of money or some kind of knowledge or something like that. And Jude says, remember the apostles told you that mockers, scoffers, false teachers, deriders would come, and they would walk after their own ungodly lusts or appetites. And verse 19 says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. These people separate themselves. Pulpit commentary calls this causing divisions, creating factions, making definitions or distinctions. And that's why I wanted to go through this passage, is to show context. These are not men that are outside of the church, but these are men that are inside the church, that are separating themselves and causing division. And then it says sensual. And this word sensual, this word is a very interesting word study, and I'll try to make it quick. But it is the a word that means sensitive, animate. It comes from the a root word, or a the word it derives from is suke, which means breath, spirit, and also a primary verb meaning to breathe, and to chill or wax cold. And so, if you follow this out, when Jesus says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, he's using the root word from this word that means sensual. And if I could explain it, basically what it is it's a spiritual person. Spirit, wind, breath. But they are not following the Spirit of God, but they are following their own appetite and their own desire. Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, having been born, let me get this so I can get it right. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh, or complete by the flesh? This thing started in the fire. This thing started in the Spirit. It started on the altar as a complete offering and a dying out. But he's saying, are you now made perfect? Are you now made complete by your flesh, by your carnal appetite? When we pray, we ought to bring our heart, and we ought to submit it to God. And that's really what this passage in Jude is following people on one side that have given themselves to God, submitted themselves to God, and on the other side that were born in this thing, but they began to be guided by their own appetite. And so verse 20, Jude makes a distinction and says, after all of these things, talking about these sensual people, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. You can stand with me. But the beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself submitted to the doctrine, to the commandments of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, because that's what it takes. We've got to get into the Holy Ghost to get our spirit submitted. I've known people that prayed an hour, 2 hours a day, and their spirit was never submitted, because they thought that they were just praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. But they really weren't praying into an arena where the Holy Ghost was coming over them and overshadowing them, and they were submitting themselves to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, reflecting as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, the doxa, the glory of the Lord. If we can get in the Holy Ghost and we can be in the glory of God, then it says that we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If we can pray in the Holy Ghost, we can be changed into that image that we're beholding in that prayer closet. We can be changed into that same image. The Bible says that we're to be conformed to the image of His Son, pressed into the mold. It's not about what we want. It's about what the Holy Ghost wants. It's about what God wants. And I know I've went just 2 or 3 minutes over my time. Don't have time to go on, but let's bow our heads and pray. God, I pray, Lord, today that You would quicken this word to our heart. I know, God, that You would put a burden on my heart for this. And I believe, God, that it's timely and necessary. God, let us come together in unity. Lord, let us seek to pray in the Holy Ghost, to be conformed to Your image, to be the witness that we need to be. God, that our kids would be saved, that our friends would be saved. God, that our neighbors would be saved, our city would be saved. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that there would be great apostolic revival. I know that we're started in it. God, we want to complete the work that You have started. We want You to complete it through us and in us. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.